morning. Sorry, we don't have the introduction, but I think we all know the story. Our gospel is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you ever read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It takes a whole lifetime to belong fully to your life. With these words, John O'Donohue, the Irish poet, begins a poem from his book, Eternal Echoes. O'Donohue goes on to say, "It is almost as if each event, encounter, and experience is a pathway to be explored and lived. When the wisdom of the soul harvests it and brings its treasures back in along the pathway until they belong to the deepest circle of yourself. Each day," he says, "we voyage outward, and at the evening, our souls bring home what we have suffered, learned, and created." Now, how's that for an image of the way that we deal with what we go through in life? For O'Donohue, the task of living and growing in God, in the soul, is the task of becoming fully alive and fully knit together as a soul, weaving together like a tapestry each painful, ecstatic, monotonous, lovely moment until we fully belong to our lives and in ourself. There's a sense that every moment in your life and my life matters to the soul that is awake to the potential meaning of it and its purpose in our living. In some ways, he's saying that the only way to inhabit our life and to develop as soul is to live fully what we're going through, to weave in the experiences of learning and creation of our lives into who we are as human beings, into our soul. And when we do that, that makes a lifetime. And it takes that long. It takes years and years of life's experience, of the world changing, and you have to move with it, of highs and lows, of achievements and failures, to come to the place of living fully in your own skin, in your own life. That's the work of the soul. The United Church Creed that was written in 1968 says, "God has created and is creating." And I think O'Donohue was trying to say that very same thing, that to tell us that the process of being created as we go is one of living life and experiencing, and the soul harvesting that experience and weaving it into the deepest circle of ourself. And that's how God does it. Created and creating in the soul of each one of us. Now, why is he going on and on about this on Palm Sunday? That would be a good question to be thinking about right about now as we begin our Holy Week journey. What does that have to do with it? Well, Palm Sunday has often been a struggle for me as I try to live it authentically, given the story of it. The traditional songs and the traditional way of characterizing this moment in Jesus' life, this has never really rested easily in my heart and mind and in my faith. And I mean, that we have, the tradition talks about this day being the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Those are the words. Hosanna, the little children sang. And no doubt it was an amazing experience of hope. And yet Matthew talked about Jerusalem being in an uproar. And no sooner does Jesus enter Jerusalem than he goes into the temple and he loses it. Angrily casts out the money changers. And this act leads to the powers of the city taking aim at him. They get him in their sights. And in the powder keg of Passover under Roman occupation, the week spins out of control and leads to his execution in the most ghastly of ways. And so for me, Palm Sunday feels like the gateway into the most intense series of events in the story of Jesus' life. And the narrative, that is the narrative that shapes our faith. Truth is, he died before his time. And we know what that feels like. Truth is, he was executed. And in his last days, he lived a lifetime's worth of moments. So as we move through this week, Christians all over the world will reenact those moments. Remember each in its intensity, one experience at a time. There's gathering on Thursday. Well, all over the world, people will be gathering on Thursday. We're invited to Bethany Newton United Church, where a cluster of United Churches gather. And what do? We remember Jesus gathering in an upper room with his friends, with his closest friends, and sharing the Passover. We remember him washing their feet. We remember him going out from that place to the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, knowing he's in the middle and facing a huge conflict. Not my will, but thy will be done. Can you take this cup from me? No, whatever is my path, I will accept it. And on Friday morning, same cluster of churches gather at Crossroads United Church. We're all invited there too for a time to remember the last day of Jesus' life, his suffering, his death. And we pray for all who suffer, all who experience the grinding of injustice in the world. And then we, like the original disciples, we wait. Saturday was incredible waiting. Marshall nailed it this morning. waiting with that, the weight of grief on your shoulders. Gathering for prayer here between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Prayer informs our waiting, and there will be spiritual practices all throughout the building and outside. Walk the labyrinth. We do this because there is a lifetime's worth of moments packed with meaning and significance to be found in this little week. And each one is an experience. And it was a harvest of painful, poignant experience that then became woven into the deepest circle of Jesus' being. And our example for today is Palm Sunday. He enters the city, and he doesn't really know what's coming. At least that's what I believe. He only knows that God is with him, and this path is his path. And it's his to live fully. How often have you entered into a situation not knowing what is coming, and trying to believe and trust that God is with you. He enters the seat of power, and his message comes abruptly up against the inertia and the defensiveness of the social, religious, and political norms of his time. How often do our ideals, rooted in our faith, the way we want to live and the way we want the world to be, how often does that come up against the defensiveness and the inertia of social, religious, and political worlds that we live in? Or how often does that happen even within our own souls and our own selves, where our ideals bump up against the norms that we have taken into ourselves? And then in the temple, he sees the holy place has been turned into an exploitative commercial venture. Wow. Does that ring any bells? Exploitation of what is sacred? Every moment of this story this week is filled with the moments that we ourselves live as we seek to follow Jesus in faith. This week touches every human emotion, the deepest struggles of what it means to be human. It moves through longing, hope, disappointment, grief, fear, bewilderment, acceptance, new life, where all ought to have been lost. And it moves through all of that. And just like O'Donohue says, we watch Jesus as we watch ourselves harvest each moment and weave it into the deep circle of our soul. We watch Jesus belong to the life that he lived in these difficult days, belong to the path that he walked. He did not kick and struggle to get out of it. Sure, he played an active role in trying to shape it. The money changers certainly felt the edge of that. But at the same time, he moved through these events, taking each moment, weaving it into some greater, deeper reality of life. He demonstrated what O'Donohue calls belonging fully to your life. So for me, Palm Sunday and the events of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem no longer hold triumphal significance that the tradition has placed on them. Jesus is not entering Jerusalem to conquer it in any way, not politically, not spiritually. No. He is following his call to live the vision of God's kingdom, the economy of love, which is a radical alternative to the empire, the core of which he's walking straight into. But he's doing that at the very center of the religious, social, and political power of his day. And this will mean that his final days will blaze with a lifetime's worth of power in one week. And our job, our task, is to bear witness. Our task is to be part of that story, both by gathering and retelling and re-experiencing the story, and by being open to the many ways that this intense week resonates with God, who has created and is creating life unfolding around us and in us right now. It's a participatory process. experience life and God and faith. In the final stanza of O'Donohue's poem, he writes, "The soul is more ancient than consciousness and mind. Each day our soul weaves our life together. It weaves the opaque and ancient and deep of you with the actual freshness of your present experience. Did you know that? Did you know that there is a deep, ancient, opaque you? An eternal you? A you that requires that you open yourself radically to know about? Well, there is. That's what I mean by soul. And the experience of you in the world, well, your soul is bringing it in and weaving it into that eternal you. So as you journey in and out through these holy days, as you encounter what Jesus encountered both in story and in experience, may it be soul weaving. Amen. There's a song.